Pum, 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 pum. Yebo! Yebo! Ow! Yes! Yes! Yebi, 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 yebo! 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 Ay man, PTA, ay no, John, John. Hello, my friends. Hello, guys. Le guy, dumelang. Wow, I didn't even know it. You, yahama. Ay man. Jeez, I love it. Dumelang, 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 dumelang. Before it goes on and on, dumelang, dumelang. Oh my God, what am I doing? Hello, guys. Hello. Wow, it actually finished. Oh my God, it finished and started again. Yeah, no, I didn't know what I was doing there. I was just fiddling and fiddling. Hello guys, dumelang. It is another Sunday morning, and it is another episode of the Stretch with Lebu. I nearly said the Lebu Pule show. Yeah, these things are gonna come. Another episode of the Stretch with Lebu Pule podcast, where I share everything that I think I've learned, everything that I'm learning, imparting some of my knowledge, some of my experiences, you know, and I'm interweaving them with my teachings. And that's what this podcast is about. And going forward, it's also going to involve other people who are going to impart their knowledge, their wisdom, what they've learned, what they're learning, when I begin to interview people. And like I said at the beginning of the year, that is going to begin, and I already have two guests lined up. I'll be in Joburg very soon, and they are going to be interviewed, and it's going to be all fun. So it's not only going to be me and speaking to you and making all these silly gimmicks that I do for you guys every time before I begin a show. And I want to welcome new people as usual. Welcome back to old people. You are loving the episodes. The confidence and humility is still trending. It is the most downloaded so far. So you like it. You like it very much. And I see you are sharing it with a lot of people. And that makes me happy, and I appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. Now, it is raining in the Karoo, and it's a spectacle, by the way. When it rains here, it's like a big deal, because it hardly ever rains. It really hardly ever rains. And I looked at the weather thing. When I used to live in Joburg, I never used to look at weather. I mean, honestly, who does that? But here, every morning I wake up and I check. And for the first time in a while, when I look at Beaufort West weather, I see like it's going to rain basically most of next week. And I'm like, what? But what I've noticed over the past few months, it would predict rain. And then because, you know, the weather service is so advanced that it can actually pick up when things change. I'll check in the morning and it would say, yeah, no, there's going to be a bit of rain. And then there's no rain. There's just this bright sun. You know, my sun, I love to talk about the Beaufort West sun. It is just the most gorgeous sun ever, and the bluest skies ever. And then it would be 12 o'clock and it would be like this bright sun and the bluest sky. And then I would check the weather again and it would say, the rain prediction would be gone. It would just be like, bah, sunlight and 35 degrees. Yeah, we get very hot. By the way, 35 degrees is bearable now. It starts getting uncomfortable when it goes past 37. That's when, like, I feel it, Horiano, Hwashwewa. But 35, 32 has become very normal weather for me. And in as much as this might sound like Gaitanya, but 32 in Joburg is harsher than 32 here. I've experienced that. I can't explain it, but I know. I know I'm right. And somebody who knows what I'm talking about might confirm this. But 35 here, 35 degrees Celsius, is hot. I mean, I'm not going to say hot is cool. It's hot, but it is not drastic. But I know 35 degrees Celsius in Joburg is hectic. I know. Something about the Highveld and the temperature in the Highveld, which is Joburg, is very different to here, down in the Karoo. Okay, so anyway, it says it's going to rain, and it is raining, and I'm very happy because I have done my gardening, and I've planted new seedlings. I become very brave that I decided I'm not going to plant in pots anymore. I'm a bit confident now, and I'm planting on the ground. And yeah, something about planting on the ground, what I've noticed, I don't know if it's my imagination or whatnot, but the seedlings shoot up sooner than when you do it in the pot. Somebody who's a gardener, please confirm this or deny it. But I've noticed that the seedlings that I put on the ground direct on Mother Earth shoot up faster than the ones that I put on the pot. And I've done a lot of pot gardening, so much pot gardening that I even harvested carrots. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or you follow my page, you know, Lebupule's work page. You might have seen that not so long ago I harvested my carrots and they were in a pot. Small pot, eh? 30 centimeter by 30 centimeter pot. And I harvested just about 10 carrots. Nahana, if 30 centimeter by 30 centimeter pot can give you 10 carrots, imagine the ground. And I want to thank them, my Fadis, Naledi Farm, my people, for inspiring and igniting the gardener in me. I don't think I will get to the level of Naledi Farm, but if I could grow the food that I like. I mean, I'm a tomato person. I love tomatoes, and I have like tons of tomato seeds that I've planted now. I love onion, like the next person. I love spinach, and spinach has been so hard to plant, to grow. I mean, it dies. I don't know what is it about this weather, but my spinach just doesn't get beyond a particular point. It dies. I don't know if it's the heat, but I'll figure it out. So far, so good. It's growing nicely. I'll show you pictures one day. The thing that is growing, and it's a symbolic thing that I talk about all the time, it's my cabbage. I took it out of the pot and I put it on the ground. It is flourishing. For me, that cabbage, as some people know, people who are in my groups and my class know, that it is very, very symbolic to me. It means a lot. And the fact that it is flourishing talks a lot to my own growth and where I'm going. But I don't want to be so attached to it that if it dies, then I feel it's me dying, and you know. But for now, I want to just look at it, and it symbolizes something meaningful and something deeper in me. Okay, speaking of all that, a little marketing, which I promised. Like last week, it wasn't too long. This week is going to be even shorter. And as time goes on, my marketing is going to get shorter and shorter, unless I have something new to share. If there's nothing new, then, you know, we'll get straight. I'll do a bit of chitty chatter because I can't go straight to the topic. But the marketing won't be too long, so you won't have to skip forward. Because I know some of you skip forward. And you are so bad that I literally put a horror. No, no, just fast forward. I just fast forward to get to the topic, and then sometimes I went too far and then I have to go back. People. But I really blame you because I also listen to a lot of podcasts and I do skip the adverts. Partly because a lot of the podcasts I listen to are not from South Africa. We don't have a lot of podcasters in this country. A lot of our podcasters are a podcast that is based on a radio show. So, you know, it doesn't really interest me much. The podcasts that interest me are the podcasts where someone is organically creating a podcast for themselves, by themselves, without the feed of a large radio station. You know, someone who's like Lebu Lion, Lessons with Lion. She is a marketing guru. She has helped me tremendously in terms of how to organize my social media. So I listen to her religiously in the country. She's just about the only person that I listen to on a podcast in South Africa. The rest are Americans. So when they advertise things that I can't even buy, I can't even reach. It's things that are American-based or UK-based. Like there's another podcast I listen to, London Real. another white man who is just doing incredible things. And I mentioned the fact that it's a white man because for the past 2 years, a lot of the people who've inspired me have been white men. Yeah, I think I've said this before, or if I haven't said it in the podcast, I said it somewhere in my groups. It's been white men, and I know it's a phase. I know it will turn. I'm going to go back probably to black women or black men or young people or something. But right now, the people who are really, really inspiring me deeply has been a lot of white men who are doing amazing things on the podcast. Oh yeah, the other podcast I listen to is Vangile and Mizo's podcast, Wealthy Property Magicians. Wealthy Money is Vangile's company. Property Magicians is their podcast. I don't listen religiously, just to be fair, but it is another second South African podcast or black female podcast that I listen to. Lessons with Lion. If you don't know her, go to Twitter, search for Lebo Lion or Lessons with Lion. You are going to never ever regret it, especially if you want to grow your social media or you want to navigate between how do you separate your professional social media and your personal social media, particularly if your target audience or your target customers are on social media. How do you then separate yourself and the business? As we all know, I mean, on social media, particularly on Facebook, which is the one that I know well, is that, you know, people will like your posts and comment and do all sorts of things on it. But the moment you sell, you get crickets, you get like 6 likes from your best friend, your best friend's friend, the person who loves you unconditionally, your mother, your boyfriend, your boyfriend's cousin, and your daughter. Those 6 people will be the one liking the post where you are selling or you're advertising your work. And it's something that we've come to accept, and you know, it is infuriating at first, but it's how it works. You know, sometimes it's easy to complain, but then I look at myself. How many times do I like a post where someone is selling something or someone is advertising something? And then I was like, oh, actually, I also do the same. But when someone is posting something that is inspiring me or making me laugh or making me think, then I will engage in as much as I don't engage on many posts. But the point I'm making is that I will pay more attention to a post that feeds me as opposed to the one that is about me feeding that person. It's human nature. It sucks. It sucks bad. Should it change? Yes, I hope one day it changes, but it is what it is. And if you are promoting your work, your coaching services, your training services, or whatever it is that you're doing, and you rely heavily on social media audience, brace your heart, my friend. Hold your heart, hug yourself, love yourself, and just remember that in as much as no one has put a like or only 2 people liked it, they have seen it. They have seen it and they know what you're about. But then, so Lebo Lion helps you separate the two, which is why, if you've noticed, I am pushing the page more. I'm feeding what feeds me. A lot of people who come on the page, I've never seen them before. They're not my regular commenters. And they're people who ultimately buy my books, ultimately join my groups. Speaking of joining my groups, the 2020 class, probably 60% of the people who are in my class this year, I've never, ever, ever once saw them on my wall. They've never commented. Maybe they've liked. I don't know who they are. But as they share, they're like, no, we've been following for a while. We've been watching. We've been silent followers. We've been there. And we ultimately decided to join your class. So do not buy into the people who comment. Don't buy into that. A lot of them will not necessarily buy your services or your products, and don't hate on them. At first it will hurt and it will sting and it will be all awkward, but don't hate on them, because as they say, you will never reap where you've plowed. You'll never reap. It's the same as that thing, Yahori. A prophet will be appreciated in another town, a prophet will be appreciated somewhere else, not where they come from. It's human nature. It sucks very, very bad. I wish it could be different, but that's how it is. So the podcasts I listen to, wow, I'm saying all this just to say, hore, Lynn, I skip adverts from the people that I like. When they advertise too much, I just think, let's fast forward a bit, and then you go back, you find that they're still advertising, you go a little bit back, you find how you've passed the beginning of the interview, and then you find it. So you are all forgiven. You are all forgiven. So marketing, very quickly, there's a retreat happening on the 19th to the 22nd of March. It is 9,500. If you are interested in the retreat, even if there is just a little thing that says, maybe I should go. info@stretchwithlebopule.co.za info@stretchwithlebopule.co.za Stretch class of 2020, still open until 29 February. info@stretchwithlebopule.co.za info@stretchwithlebopule.co.za You'll get the curriculum, the fees, and then Tuli will send you a link so that you can join, because a lot of people can't find the Stretch class of 2020 link, and I'm happy that it's not easily found, so that you can start via the email. Also, if you don't go via the email and then you find the link, answer all three questions. Tuli will never add you if you don't answer all three questions. Tuli will also never add you if you don't go via email. So it's tougher, it's tighter, but once you're in, you're in. You pay your registration, you pay your... Now that you're joining now, you will have to pay for January as well, because the content is there. You'll get my live videos, you'll get my summary text, you'll get info there. So it's just up to you to catch up. Okay, I have Alone Dialogues in end of February in Soweto. Check my Alone by Lebopule page as well, just for updates. But yeah, that's what's happening. And that is all about marketing. Believe it or not, I'm done. I want to get to this topic today, and why I decided to talk about self-love is because we have just entered the month of love. This is the Valentine's month, and you know, the focus is generally on the other one, on the partner, on relationships and all that. But how about the relationship with ourselves? You know, how about the relationship with us as human beings? How much do you love yourself, and what exactly does self-love mean? You know, what are we talking about? I know that generally when we talk about self-love, we reduce it to the surface. That's what I've noticed. I mean, you know, the popular thing being, you know, I'm gonna do me, you know, do you, boo. The things of cut out all the negative people out of your life, that's loving yourself. Self-love is about loving someone from a distance. Self-love also is seen as, or is viewed as, a me culture. It has developed a me culture. So everything's about me and my happiness and my comfort and my good feelings and my good vibes. Anything that brings me bad vibes must be eliminated, because then it interferes with my self-love. Self-love has become something almost like self-indulgence, which is fine. But is it really self-love, or is it just the surface of it? And yes, cutting people out of your life so that you have peace of mind and you can, you know, focus on things that work, things that are positive, it's part of self-love. It is not the be-all and end-all of self-love. Me, looking after number one, it is part of self-love. It is not the be-all and end-all. The excessive... focus on external things, you know, where it's about, you know, I don't know if you're on Instagram, but I have grown fond of Instagram for different reasons. But obviously Instagram has its own issues, where it is very, very, very vain, and it's really all about the external, and it's really all about capturing moments that may or may not be real. Half the time they're not real, you know. You're standing there, good lighting, good filter, good background, the picture is captured, and you put a little caption there. It looks all real. It looks beautiful. Nothing wrong with it. But it's not, we all know sort of that it's not reality. Or at least I know. I don't know about other people. And I think what gets people all depressed is that people tend to buy too much into it, thinking that kannete nnete ke bophelo ba le bule bole. Nah. There's good lighting, good iPhone or Huawei camera, organized background so that it looks a particular way, nice filter, and then a particular caption. But in reality, nah, I don't always live like I'm in a picture, no. So you find someone using a beautiful Instagram picture and saying things like it's self-love, or they'll do a live video or a video on where they go on a massage, a pedicure, manicure, doing their nails, doing facials, doing their hair, and all that is attributed to self-love. Again, it is part of it, but it is not what self-love really is. In fact, all that, the external things, the spa, massages, the pedicure, manicure, hairdos, makeup, facials, all that are the self-indulgent part of self-love, which is part of self-love, but it's not the be-all and the end-all. Another way of viewing self-love that I've noticed and I've observed is, you know, the whole girls night out or girls vacay, you know, a lot of women, we are making money. Wow, did you notice that I said we? Did I say we are making money? Did I include myself over there? Oh my God, oh my God. Doesn't mean that I'm healing my money wound. Maybe. Okay, I don't know why I did that voice. So a lot of women, we are making money and we can afford things that our mothers, our generation before us couldn't afford, such as going out, you know, going to the Asian countries. Thailand is a popular one, Dubai. Lately, I see a lot of people going to Italy. Hey, guys, go Italy. People are going to Italy. I also want to go to Italy. Italy is the new Dubai in South Africa. So people are going to Italy, Dubai, Thailand, Phuket, and they go as girls, as groups, as or sometimes even solo. And all that is part of doing me, self-loving. Yes, it is all part of it. But it's also the self-indulgent part of self-love. So what I want to tell you, this is what I wanted to highlight first before I tell you what self-love actually is. Another way that we think self-love is, which is part of it, but it's not all of it, is when we overindulge in certain things, like let's say something upset you at work, or a friend just seriously irritates you, or a boyfriend or an ex or something just weird happens, and then you go home, you take your shower, and you sit in a bath with a bottle of champagne, or you just indulge in a big piece of chocolate or cake, and then that's you just self-loving, just taking care of you right now. That's fine. It becomes a problem if that is always what you do. Whenever you get upset or whenever something hurts you, something triggers you, you go for that chocolate, you go for that champagne, you go for that wine, or you go for that big pasta. That stops being self-love, it becomes something else. So there is absolutely nothing wrong with, I'm upset, I want a piece of chocolate. It's going to make me feel better. Because actually it's been scientifically proven, apparently, that chocolate has properties that can make you feel good. It induces those, what do they call them? These indoor something. Happy hormones, they have a name, you know, the happy hormones you get after jogging or doing exercise. Apparently chocolate can induce those things, so it is scientifically proven. The problem is if you always just go there, when I got dile or ja chocolate, when I mang mang you are hurt, you eat chocolate or you indulge in some big cake, or you have, you know, our fave, champompolompo, or wine. It's self-love because it's necessary. Denial is part of self-love, by the way, which is a topic for another day. When you're in denial, you are actually taking care of your heart until such time that you're ready to deal with something. But like I say, it's a topic for another day. The problem then begins when that is the only thing you do as a sign of self-love. You don't interrogate, you don't go deeper, you don't ask yourself deep questions. Yeah, you are not self-loving anymore. You are self-sabotaging, you are self-loathing, and you are putting yourself under victim mentality. And being a victim can very much feel and sound like self-love. Again, topic for another day. What else did I say? Self-indulgence. Self-love is also, sometimes we also think that self-love is cutting people out of our lives. People who trigger us, people who irritate us, people who hurt us, people who don't respect our boundaries. Yes, cutting them off has a lot to do with self-love. But then it becomes a problem when that's all you seem to do. All you do when I cut about you. Whenever someone does something tiny, something that hurts your little feelings, and feelings won't last. I mean, your feelings of being hurt won't last forever. Honestly, like, seriously, guys. Seriously, they won't. you get triggered, and you get hurt a little bit, wakata. Yeah, it's self-love to a certain extent. If it's done, overdone, maybe it's something else. Maybe we need to look deeper and find out why is it that when you are so quick with your scare, quick with your scissors, cut, 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 cut. And then one day you wake up and you are alone and no one is there, really. No one who matters is there for you. And what has that kind of self-love brought you? You see? Okay, so now let us talk about what I think self-love is. Practically, because it has to be practical. If it's going to be love, it's going to be practical. So the first thing you need to understand about self-love is that it's a journey. Self-love is a journey. It's not a destination. You don't get to a point where you're like, I am now, I love myself. I'm at a self-love space. I am like, I'm seriously, like, I'm so content right now. No, it's a journey. And what do I mean by that? What do I mean by it's a journey? I mean that there's a particular step that people take that is self-loving, that if you were to look at yourself 10 years back, you know that you were never going to be able to reach that stage. So you've worked so hard to love yourself such that you have taken this step. But then for someone who's a bit ahead of you, or someone who is who's further along the self-love journey, looks back and still looks at you and thinks, yeah, it might be self-love for you, but for me, that was not there yet. Do you know what? Do you see what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that in a little steps, in a little levels of self-love. So you can't say, yeah, no, I made a self-love. You can, given a particular circumstance, depending on where you are, depending on where you've started. I was sharing with the class of 2020 when I was doing one of the lives. We're doing the law of vibration, which is also known as the law of attraction, that what makes people not see the law of attraction at work or give up on it or think it's not working is because people tend to want to move from a negative space. For example, let's say your level of attracting the things that you want is at -5. And what you want is at 10, positive 10. You can't move from -5 to positive 10. I don't care who you are. I don't care what God you pray to. I don't care what miracles you believe in. You can't move from -5. To 10. You can move from -5 to -1. You can move from -5 to 0 or to 1. But the point I'm trying to make is that depending on how much effort you put in, how much work you do to vibrate at a particular level, you can skip. You don't have to go from -5 to -4 to -3, although that is part of the process. You can. Others do that. Others move nice and easy, nice and easy. Which reminds me, and this is a thought that's just coming. It's not on my notes. And when a thought comes, I've come to learn that I have to share it because someone is probably intuiting it. Someone is calling for it. It reminds me back in the days, I think it was 2004, 2005, 2006, Honamo, but I remember I was still in the furniture business, doing relatively well in inverted commas. And I used to go to gym, like I was a gym rat. I was that girl. I was that girl that does spinning, then do step, then go and do Pilates maybe later. Did I do Pilates? Or was Pilates new or yoga? Or I'd do weights. And so I was that girl. I looked absolutely incredible. I look hot. Hot in an Instagram sense. You know, my body, I was a size 32. I had six-pack. Well, I didn't have a six-pack, but I had a flat tummy. I looked absolutely amazing. And there was this woman who was big. Like, think of anyone that you know in your head that you consider big. Okay? Do you have that person in mind? Yeah. Now, imagine that person deciding to go to gym and deciding to eat better. Do you know that lady, she I remember she was a teacher at Tembisa, one of the Tembisa high schools. I just don't remember her name, but we used to chat and we used to sit and talk in the steam room. And, you know, she used to have this Hippolytus scent, which at first I hated, but I started enjoying it. And she would just pour it in that steam, you know, where the steam comes out, and then it would scent the entire steam bath, and it would smell like camphor. And I think I hated that camphor smell, but now I enjoy the camphor smell. And we would talk, you know, we'd talk very lightly without going too deep into personal, but we'd talk about health, eating healthy, gym. And I watched that woman move from being really, really big to losing weight, not to the, you know, flat tummy type of thing, but you saw the progress. But for the longest time, it looked like she was not doing anything. It looked like nothing was happening. And then one morning we woke up and she was at gym and we could see the difference. So a self-love journey is similar. At first you don't, it's like, there's things that you do, but they look insignificant. It looks like you're not doing much. It looks like nothing is changing. Hanti, inside, things are changing. And one morning you wake up and this person looks different or sounds different. But it's because inside they were doing the work. So self-love is an inside journey. It's a journey. It's of little, tiny, little steps that you do inside to get you to that level of understanding and loving yourself. Okay, so yeah, now that I digressed and used that lady, let me see where I am. Okay, so what self-love to someone might not look like it. Okay, yeah, so the next point I want to get to is in line with what I've just shared now, is that many years ago I used to have a signature talk called for young people, specifically for young people. And by young people I mean high school students, you know, your grade 11 and 10 and 12, and then your varsity technical college, because I used to do this a lot with technical college, the VAL, university, anyway, used me quite a bit. And I had a specific talk called The You in You. And I used to take the word unique. Excuse me, I feel like doing that other thing. I hope it wasn't as audible as the last one. Ew. But anyway, I had to bip. So the you in you, the you was stand for unique. So I was basically sharing with, and if you read book two, my book, Alone, from Hustling to Healing, book two, I do mention this specific part in the book towards the end where I used to give a lot of talk to young people, and my signature talk was the you in you. And I used to take the word unique and unpack it such that, you know, I make it easy for someone to understand, for a child to understand that they are truly, truly unique. And I would take the word, the first you, which is for me at the time, I said to them, it stands for understanding who you are. So now that I'm talking to you, and a lot of my listeners, I know they're not young people, they're not too young. It's my age group and slightly younger and older. I want to bring it to you slightly differently, obviously, because you're a different audience. And I want to say to you the following, that you cannot love yourself. You cannot claim to have self-love if you don't understand who you are, if you don't know who you are. Because self-love begins with knowing who you are. Do you know who you are? Like, do you know who you are really? Do you know what your strengths are? Do you know what your weaknesses are? Do you know what your blind spots are? Blind spots is what we also call the shadow, your shadow side. Do you know what energy you come with? When you walk into the room, do you know what you bring into the room? Do you know what gifts you have? Do you know what talents you have? Do you know what they are? Do you know all that? So you can't talk of self-love if you don't know all that. Okay, you can talk of self-love, you know, from, you know, I just love myself for who I am and but deeper self-love is understanding those things. When you love yourself, you're going to be driven to understand who you are for real, to understand what your gifts are, your talents are, what you are here for, what you are bringing into this world. It will lead you there. If your self-love doesn't lead you there, well, it's in silico surfacing. It's still self-love, but it's on the surface. It's like, meh, it's the manicure, pedicure, makeup, hairdo level. Nothing wrong with that. It's just there. It's your journey is stuck. It's there. Okay, step one or step zero, depending on how you look at it. So the journey of self-love, it will lead you to get to a place of wanting to understand who you are. So the U in the first U, in unique, the first U stands for understand who you are. So you need to do that. Is that where your journey is now? Is that where your self-love journey is? Are you discovering who you are? Are you understanding who you are? Do you know your weaknesses? If I were to wake you up in the middle of the night and say, hey, Lebu, what are your weaknesses? Would you know what they are? If I were to say to you, do you know what your blind spots are? Do you know what your shadow is? Would you know? If you don't know, don't beat yourself too much. A lot of us are uncomfortable with our shadows, if we even know them. Those who don't know your shadows, guys, you are living in bliss. Humanity, ignorance is bliss. That's what that's what the saying talks to. But once you've seen your shadow, the problem is that once you've seen your shadow, you can't unsee it. And how comfortable are you with your shadow? Have you befriended your shadow? Is it part of who you are? Do you know what it's trying to tell you? Do you know how it developed? Do you know where it comes from? Do you know how to integrate it into your life? Yes? No? If you're a stretcher, you've been part of my group, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, but you know about shadow work, good for you. Okay, so that is the journey of self-love. It starts superficially, but then as you walk the journey, you get to this point. Once you've come to the point of understanding who you are, the journey of self-love will lead you to nurturing who you are. You nurture those things. You nurture those gifts. You nurture those talents. You nurture it. You feed it. You feed who you are. And how you nurture that is that you do. Okay, let's say you discover that actually there's an artist in me, there's a singer in me, there's a teacher in me, there's a gardener in me. Hey, Manti, shout out to you. There's this in me. You will find yourself drawn to things that do that for you, that nurture that. You'll find yourself in poetry sessions, in word of mouth sessions. You'd attend certain things that talks to who you are. That is you nurturing who you are. Are you an author? You'll find yourself reading about other authors, going to creative writing classes, blogging about writing, joining groups about writing on social media, writing more, blogging more yourself. You are nurturing the talents that you are. That is self-love. Do you see how far the journey is? Do you see how deep this goes? You nurture who you are. And that is the N in the word unique that I used to share with young people, although I didn't go that deep. Another aspect of nurturing yourself is that you will develop a self-compassion. And self-compassion is not self-indulgence. Self-compassion is not you cutting yourself some slack or not making yourself accountable for things you need to be accountable for. Self-nurturing is just understanding that life is difficult and things are tough, and embracing yourself the way you would someone that you love, your best friend, your child, your lover, who's going through the hardest time. You know, I'm sure you've heard this before, that how would you talk to a best friend going through a tough time? How would you talk to your husband who's going through... Hey, let me not talk about husbands, because, hey, that's other dynamics. But someone that you truly, truly love, like your child or your sister, who's going through the most, who's finding it very difficult to go through something, how would you talk to them? Then talk to yourself like that. Give yourself some self-compassion. Hug yourself. Understand that, you know, this too shall pass. That's part of self-loving. That's part of self-nurturing. Okay. And then I would go to the letter I of unique, you and I. And I would say that the journey of self-love would lead you to investing in yourself. I stands for investing in yourself. Investing in yourself, very similar to nurturing, but here it's upskilling. You know, you now know that you have, you are, this is who you are. You have these talents or these gifts. You are nurturing them by doing, by being part, joining communities that do that. But then you invest in yourself by upskilling. You now add more. You now pay a teacher to help you. You pay a coach to move you to the next level. Because there comes a time where you actually need someone to hold your hand. You need a coach. You need a teacher. You need someone who's walked further. You do. I don't care how clever you think you are. I don't care how deep you think you are. There comes a time where you need someone who to help you. That's why I always worry if your coach doesn't have a coach, if your teacher doesn't have a teacher. I have two coaches. They do different things. And I have two teachers, if I count Osma Chilu, who help me along the way. You can't not. If you are brave enough, ask your coach, ask your teacher. Do you have your teacher? They don't have to tell you who they are, or they can tell you. But every teacher needs a teacher. Every coach needs a coach. Even in clinical psychology, most psychologists have their own psychologists that they consult with. So you can't walk alone. Yes, I know I wrote a book called Alone, but it's for different reasons. It's a paradox. Remember, this world is a paradox. But you can't. You will get to a point where you need help. You need to be assisted. You need to be pushed along. And that's what the invest in yourself means. Pay a coach. Pay a teacher. Join a paid group on Facebook called Stretch with Lebubule. Or join a paid group on Facebook called Fresh Start with Jones Ebeza. Join Vangile Makwakwa's Money Magicians paid group. Do these things. Invest in yourself. Take money, literally. So investing in yourself is literally taking money or taking energy or something where you are paying so that you can be nurtured. That is part of self-love, because you can't love yourself on the surface only. So what's happening in this world, or what I've observed, is that there's a lot of self-love speak. There's a lot of talk about self-love, but it is very, very surface. It's about how they think the world sees them. It's about how the hair looks, how the outfit looks, how the skin is glowing and external glow, how the restaurants we go to, the vacays we go to. You can do all that, but if you don't do the interiors as well, if you don't do a manicure and a pedicure of your interior, if you don't massage your liver and your heart and take care of your spirit and deal with your kidneys, you know, the kidneys hold fear, the liver holds unforgiveness, bitterness. I mean, think of what the liver does. It cleans out toxicities. And if it doesn't clean those out, it holds them. So bitterness, anger, hurt is held by the liver. Fear is held by the kidneys. The heart harbors unexpressed emotions. So you want to do the interiors as well, so that you can then walk this self-love journey. And then it goes on and on. I'm going to stop at you and I. You and I, unique, understand who you are, which also stroke know who you are, nature, invest. And then the Q, I remember I used to talk about quality life, which I'll probably touch on next week or sometime. And like when you and I, Q, you, The other U stood for unlimited potential. You understand that you have unlimited potential if you love yourself. And then I think it was E, unique, that you can excel. But anywho, I wanted for this specific podcast episode, I wanted to just do the U and I that talks to what self-love really means. So what I've also come to understand about self-love is that unless you understand the you and I of self-love journey, it's going to be very difficult for you to express that to another or to see that in another. When you love yourself, as they say, you are able to love another. When you understand yourself, you are able to understand someone else. You are able to see someone who's just, you know, playing along or pulling, like who's not pulling their weight. You can understand that because you've done the work within. That's the beauty of inner work. When you do inner work, it helps you detect bullshit from far. You see that bullshit. And you are also able to appreciate someone who's doing good work, someone who's doing their inner work. You can see it. One more. A person who's doing inner work, one more. It doesn't matter how beautiful their posts are on Facebook. If they're not doing inner work, you'll pick it up. You'll pick it up. These energies are very magical, and energy doesn't lie. And when you know what's going on around you, and when you've evolved and you've really done proper inner work of understanding who you are and nurturing and investing, you will also attract the people who are on the same path. And those who are not will just suddenly fall off, just like that. And you will have unbelievable capacity of loving others, of giving to others. Okay, let's see the time. Oh, it's shorter today. It's 47 minutes. And I am happy about that because, yeah, 70 minutes, that's too long. So I'm going to love you and wish you love and all green lights. I hope this helps. I'm not promising anything. I might come back with part two. If I don't come back with part two, I am definitely coming back with an episode with plus one. I have already prepped him. we'll do an episode on love, relationships, men, women, what he's learning, what I'm learning, what relationships mean, blah, 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 something that I think you'll enjoy. And I told him that if he's not going to be authentic, let's not do it. If he is ready to be authentic and bare and whatnot, then we can do it. Because then what's the point, hey? What's the point of just showing you the glossy part of the relationship and not the real part? So I want to wish you love and green lights always, always, always. Should we end with a song? I think I like the whole thing of ending with a song. Must we end with the boring ones? Nah, I don't want to do that to you. Bam 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 bam. Hey, bee! Doesn't it want to make you say hey, okay, my friends, love and all green lights. Mwah.